Welcome to the door at the edge, of reality,
where we challenge fact and fiction.
Looking into the unknown.
Go ahead.
Terse is not our insight.
What's up, guys? Blue Room Insight here, and we are in Wytheville, Virginia. I'm Daniel.
I'm Matt.
And we are here to bring you information about the UFO Fest and the Wytheville flap of UFOs that happened 35 years ago.
Right.
But before that,
it's time for a podcast beer.
Cheers, buddy. Don't get any on the laptop. We're drinking some West Virginia. Mine's West Virginia. What's yours?
It should be West Virginia. No, sorry. This is Georgetown, Kentucky.
Okay. Well, weird. I am drinking Greenbrier Valley Brewing Co. An IPA, the Devil Ant. And it's not bad. I really wanted the Mothman one and the Flatwoods Monster, the Braxy right. one. And then they even had a Bat Boy, but we could not. We stopped at like 6 stores today.
Yeah. And we ended up getting that and Country Boy Brewing from Georgetown, Kentucky. I'm drinking the Cougar Bait. It's an American Blonde Ale.
Yeah. So we did, however, we've been busy. You know, let's see. So today, so we got in last night.
At 4 a.m.
And then we woke up at 8 a.m., had the breakfast. I had waffles,
sausage, I had eggs and sausage.
And a biscuit. Don't forget about the biscuit.
I didn't finish the biscuit. It was burnt.
And then we drove up to Flatwoods and Sutton. We went to the Flatwoods Monster Museum. Shout out. That was awesome. I will say that, like, it's definitely just a... It's like a museum of knickknacks and stuff.
Right, just if you want to get your flat with monster merch, that would be the best place to go.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it. And then we also went to the Bigfoot Museum in Sutton, which is 1,000 feet away. It's like 200 feet away.
It's basically a block. Not even a block.
Yeah, it is super close. And that has like a little small room, and it has prints. It has little... accounts. It has like an account book.
Right. Yeah, she has a whole notebook of handwritten accounts that she typed up and put them in a binder for everybody.
Yeah, no, we actually got to talk to her for quite a while, and it made the trip alone just up there, other than the spot,
right,
which is a restaurant in Flatwoods. But I would say that talking to the owner of the Bigfoot Museum of West Virginia definitely 100% made like my day. She had awesome accounts that one day I hope to share. We're going to email her later, and she's going to kind of be like a plug in a sense. Like she's going to hook us up with a lot of information. She has a lot of cool stories. Stories that actually made me feel like emotion. Not like, obviously, like, not like break down crying, but like straight up, like, it was giving me chills listening to her talk.
Right,
gave
us both goosebumps.
Goofbumps.
Just listening to her, because the way she described it was like genuine. It came from somebody who genuinely saw what they saw and experienced something that was
sad. I mean, there's like sad ones, right. There's ones that are like, we'll get to that a whole different time.
Yeah.
Going to the spot, which is a restaurant in Flatwoods, that was just awesome. They had really great sandwiches and calzones, and I had 2 calzones because I underestimated how big the food was. Because it was cheap.
Yeah, like
it was actually like cheap food, but it was so delicious.
It was huge portions.
Right, and I had no idea.
They have certain sandwiches certain sandwiches called different things for different cryptids, UFOs. They have one called the Flatwoods, Area 51,
The Monster Burger.
The Monster Burger and a few other ones.
Probably has Munster cheese.
Yeah, that'd be cool if it did.
Oops, excuse me. Discord. Oh, there we go. It was from Aaron on Bigfoot Society. That's always blown up with amazing things. I'm like always eager to race to that Discord. But yeah, and then we came back. Well, we went to, where'd we go? What was that place? It's the biggest arc, like bridge on the in the Western Hemisphere. On our way back, we decided to stop a few times actually, because we were looking for beer and whatever else we can find. Because you know, in Virginia, I honestly like every state is different. Like buying alcohol in and like not.
Same. It was the New River Gorge.
Okay, New River Gorge, which I highly recommend going. It was so beautiful, and we'll post pictures up.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, again, I don't know all the buying habits in Virginia of like where to go for alcohol. Not saying I'm an alcoholic, but like I like to have a beer or two here and there.
Right. Typically, so, we go locally.
Really, I just wanted to taste like local brews, and it was really hard. We went through West Virginia and Virginia, like looking for stuff. And we couldn't really find any of the stuff we were looking at. But I was looking for a Greenbrier Valley, just not the specific beer I wanted. But this is pretty good. We did go to a local brewery in town, and with the Seven Sisters Brewery,
right?
And they're pretty good. They had live music going on. They also had a food truck. It was a cool atmosphere. Then we finally came back to the hotel. And started chilling and unpacking the day. I got like two or three Flatwoods Monster books and like a West Virginia cryptid or like monster book. I'm super excited to dive into those.
I just got some merch.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I got a cup. I got a Braxy cup.
I got a bunch of stickers, pins.
And then I got a sticker. I did get a pen, a Braxy pen. I got the Patsy Bigfoot figurine.
And then I got a Flatwoods Monsters lantern that you can put a candle into it and it lights up.
That's going to be pretty fancy. And you didn't get that at the museum. You got that at the spot. The
spot.
So I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I really got. I don't know. I will say that after listening to this woman's just stories, I am like on this Bigfoot high right now, and it is ridiculous.
Right. I just want to eventually just come back to West Virginia and see what I can find.
Oh yeah, and the thing is like listening to the stories, and also like ever listening to like people on different podcasts like Bigfoot Society or that's really the only Bigfoot specific one I listen to,
right.
But listening to that, or like even Coast to Coast, like listening to the like certain people talk about the possibility of a North American like ape, like it really does. And then watching all the TV shows, mm-hmm. It really does seem like if you want answers, you kind of have to go in the woods alone. And what I mean by that is no technology.
So not even like even an analog watch, just
nothing that creates a magnetic field, really.
Or anything that would make like a small sound that you can't hear.
I definitely want to do that. I'm not going to lie, like I don't think I'm experienced enough kind of in the woods for that yet. At least not going deep into the woods, especially like the Appalachian Mountains.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of crazy stuff. Say,
even driving here, we're looking out the window, it's just a lot. Just trees are thick, canopy.
Oh, man.
Everywhere you can't really see anything.
But it's beautiful. I travel through this place usually every other year to go to Ohio, but.
And so when you look out your window and you're driving through these mountains, you start to understand anything could hide out there and you wouldn't know.
It is really cool. It really is. Hopefully you guys listen to this either right before or even after the festival. But we are waiting on... I mean, I'm super excited. There's so many things going on tomorrow. Even tonight, like hopefully I'm hanging out with some fellow podcasters. You know, doing just, you know, communicating, getting along, creating relationships and... being able to use that, hopefully for everybody.
Right.
You know, hopefully none of this is one-sided. But, you know, like, I mean, we're hoping to. I know that, I mean, man, there's gonna be so many people that are going to be there tomorrow that, like, I already talked to. You guys know, like, Map in Black. On Wednesdays, we talk weird. The Paranormality. I don't know why that was really hard for me. Paranormality magazine. It could be because I've had a couple of beers already.
Paranormality magazine.
Paranormality magazine. they will be there. It's gonna be really cool. There's even a bunch of speakers. Danny Gordon and Paul Dillinger. Sorry for butchering. They're the co-authors of Don't Look Up, which is the book about the UFO event over Witville. And Dave Spinks, who is an author and an investigator into the unknown, is how I'm going to put it. He has a few books. I actually have one book that he I think is in with me right now. I brought Woodnox Volume 1 from David Weatherly. I don't know if this is the one that, excuse me, he is in. I don't think so. I think it's later on. So, but yeah, he's in a few. I also have a book from him coming on the way. I got an autograph, so I needed him to mail it.
You got an autograph from him?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, it's, I think, UFOs of, like, West Virginia. Something like that.
Yeah.
However, there is a chance I'm just going to also buy another copy of it, at the event tomorrow. Maybe. It really depends. Obviously, we got to get some goodies for Skipper and Darius. Oh, yeah.
Pick him up some good things.
So, Sean Kutz is going to be there. He's a filmmaker. Ron Linham and Joe Perdue is going to be there. They're paranormal researchers. And MPEC, who is, how I put it, an artist of music. He gets into, like, music and stuff, so that's going to be really exciting for everybody to like get involved. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. What?
Whose phone?
That's your phone. Sorry, guys. Both of our phones were just going off at the same time, but we have them like separated on two different nightstands, so they're like they were both going off, and we just keep hearing this buzzing noise. Who would it be?
Work.
All right. Well, they have to call him back? Oh, okay. He's calling him right now. Well, I guess I will keep this going. I guess I'll pause this. All right, guys. We're back. Sorry about that. Duty calls
stuff
sometimes.
Stuff happens.
Shit happens. But it's okay. I'm not even going to worry about editing it out. I mean, we're here to talk about the UFO flap of Virginia. I mean, specifically Witville, but it's going to be, like, exciting. So, this took place between October 7th, 1987, through December 1990, which, to me, is pretty insane. Right. Thousands of people reported UFOs, and that's, like, overall, like, thousands. Within the first 3 months in Witville, more than 1,500 sightings were accounted for.
People reported that they saw strange lights in the sky. They saw saucers, triangles, and certain people saw cubes flying over the town. And then a lot of, I think it was like two people, they said that they only saw lights, but they could hear like a buzzing sound just flying over their house, slowly just hovering over before disappearing.
Yeah, so there was a bunch of calls to the local sheriff, and Danny, who we're going to really focus on, Don't Look Up the Book. And it's a Danny Gordon and Paul Dillinger. We're going to be focusing on their kind of account. And Danny would get a call from the sheriff, and he would like tell him, you know, like, what's up, this is what's going on right in the town, because he was a radio host and a journalist,
And he would want to know what was going on in the town. And it was just a weekly thing that he did with the sheriff.
Right. And during that call, or during, you know, that, yeah, during that time, he, the sheriff told him there is a ton of UFO reports coming in. And Danny didn't even believe it. And he was pretty skeptical. I mean, both of them were skeptical until later on.
Then one day, the sheriff called him and told him that three officers saw the UFOs. Right. So that's what made him say, hey, all right, something's going on here. Because these are officers. They're not going to lie about this.
Right. And, I mean, I know that for some reason, if you guys ever watched like Unsolved Mysteries, which this is also in, every time that I saw that part, it always got brought up. Those officers had military background.
Right.
So, obviously, hearing that, you would think that they would know what they're seeing, or they wouldn't be freaking out with what they're seeing. So this is something that is, to them, unexplainable of what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I know Danny started calling around and, like, looking. He would, him and, Paul. Danny and Paul would go out and they would basically, like, they started looking, you know, for their own shit. They started going through the town, looking up in the sky.
Right, they would literally just be driving around. Like, do you see anything tonight? No, not really. And they would go home, try again the next night.
Yeah, and then they saw a mothership. And this red orb, while the mothership was hovering towards them, they also saw windows in it. And it was illuminated from the inside. And the mothership started flying back, like, into the clouds. And this red orb actually went into the cloud, or into the mothership while it was fading in the background. And they did not have their camera on them. It was in the car. Both of them had their cameras in the car. One of them had it on the car. One was in the car.
Right.
And they were like, are you serious right now? Like, they were so in awe over this.
Right. They just wanted to watch it. They couldn't take their eyes off of it. And they didn't think about, oh, I need to go get the camera.
Right. But then they came back. And they ended up, they started to catch actual photos of this.
Right. It happened at, I think it was a shopping mall.
Well, that was after.
That was after, okay.
The first one that happened that they got, the film was still in development.
That's right.
And they actually started, they had a little committee, like a little group thing. I don't know. Is that what a conference?
I guess a committee or
conference.
A staff.
Yeah, they ended up having that, and I mean, they just wanted to find out what it was, so they ended up calling the Pentagon. I mean, they called the Air Force bases. Right. They called like everything that was local, and everybody was telling them, "We don't have anything in the area. That's not happening." And actually, I want to say one Air Force base said it could have been planes that were refueling at low altitude, which the Pentagon told him, no, that's not what's happening because it's illegal and that can't happen. And if that was happening, somebody's going to get in trouble.
Right. So nothing was reported about having low-flying planes or anything like that.
But Danny was actually wanting them to tell them, yeah, we were doing that. Because that would have helped, you know, and to some degree, figure out what was going on in the night sky. And some in the day sky. Which Danny ended up, I think, recounting that he actually did see some UFOs. And it was during the daytime. And he didn't even, like, put two and two together until after.
Yep. So, these keep going on. Every month, you'll get thousands of calls. I think, eventually, it ranged over 3,000 calls.
Oh yeah, they ended up getting their own switchboard in there for the calls at the radio. Which did you get the radio channel? Which I feel like
it
we
was.
Probably should have done. It's really popular. It's like
WYVE radio.
Yeah, so that was a big channel in Withville, and so they started getting that. They had their own switchboards and. You know, like, everything started kind of becoming, like, more public. Like, people were able to share all their stories.
Right.
Even though I'm sure on the streets people are already doing that. But, I mean, could you, like, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. Right? Like.
Right, and it all started just because he put it on a 60-second segment saying people were seeing strange things in the night sky.
Yeah. And it got super
picked exploded up. And everybody spread it everywhere. Like, it was going up the East Coast and spreading. The Pentagon knew about it.
Yeah, I mean, like, everybody knew that things were happening, but they didn't. But they seemed not to care. And I did hear, so there was, I think he either got a letter or a phone call about, don't worry about it. They're not there to hurt you.
Right.
They're there, and the government doesn't care because they're just there. Right. They're like almost like they're observing or something like that.
So one night, it was late at night, he got a phone call before he was supposed to go to
Virginia Beach.
The Virginia Beach conference, and the guy told him, like, you need to stop what you're doing. I was like, don't worry about what's going on. Like, everything needs to settle down. They're not here to bother anybody.
And was that the same phone call?
I think so. And the guy was basically threatening him to stop or else something will happen to you and your family.
Right. And, well, there was like a hepatitis outbreak in Virginia.
Right. As soon as he went to Virginia Beach, there was a hepatitis outbreak.
But he didn't get it. He did not catch it. Him or his wife did not.
I thought he did.
No, he didn't.
He did? Okay.
No, he said that if he did, then he believed he wouldn't right, believe okay. the guy, but he didn't, so he doesn't think that was correlated at all.
Okay.
So it was like coincidence kind of thing. Which I actually thought the outbreak was happening before he went, but I can't remember. But yeah, they basically were threatening him by like some kind of biological thing or like you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it never happened, like he's fine. They both kind of went through like the ringer with it, and even like mentally, I mean, it affected them over the years. But some of the best photos that he got was in the supermarket, the shopping center,
right?
And everybody in the town saw these lights coming together, and it was like four figures. And they kept merging into one, and then they would come back.
And they would come and make like a triangle.
Yeah, but the thing is in the photos, the lights or the orbs or however you want to describe the UFOs, they change shape. I don't know if you noticed that in the photos. And now maybe that's a camera thing, but apparently that is not like they're chalking it up to these are like shape shifting, and they can like that's how that was, which is pretty cool. Like when you really think about it.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. It's like they look like cells, like splitting apart and coming back together.
Yeah. So, I will also say that I feel like this is probably one of those cases that I don't know will ever be solved. But I do think that this case and the popularity of the case, like I don't, and I can't wait to listen to them speak tomorrow because I want to learn more. Obviously, guys, we are scratching the surface for you. It's still, you know, there's still so much that we don't know. Like, literally, the information that I got really came from, let's see, a 100-page book, and then whatever summaries was online, and then I watched Unsolved Mysteries on it. But everything was the same. The book basically just gave them more emotion and that kind of thing, so that you guys kind of knew the confusion that they were going through, and in a sense, like, well, also just the stress that they had to deal with because they wanted to know and nobody understood what was going on. So it, like, the book is good and I definitely recommend it. Again, it's Don't Look Up, but like at the same time, it's one of those things where it's like this will never be found out. Now, I do know that both authors kind of came to their own conclusions, I'm pretty sure. I don't want to get this part wrong, but... Well, do you have anything more? I
don't want on that part.
Real quick on the timeline, so like we don't get out of order too much.
I do know, while everything was going on, while he was dealing with the stress that he was putting on him and his anxiety attack, somebody actually broke into his house and stole one of the...
No, I thought they tried to. I didn't know if they got it, though.
Like, that's one of the films. They did it.
Yeah, they didn't get
it. They were looking for it, but he had
to get it. Well, that's the speculation part. Like, they are assuming that he was looking for photos.
Right.
So, Danny came... And this is right out of the book. And this is the updated version of the book. So, 2022, which is cool. Like, this just came out. This was just published this year.
Right.
So, Danny did come up with a possible explanation, but Paul did not necessarily come up with one. And it was really interesting to hear what Danny had to say. Because, you know, we can't really outlaw, like, out... say any of these. I just want to make sure that I'm actually getting it right. But if I do remember, because I'm not finding it at this moment, that he was looking at them more of it is creatures that we made, like a being that we made in the future, and they're coming back through like these like wormholes, like in a sense, like time portals and stuff. But the ones that are here, they kind of like get stuck here.
Mm-hmm.
Or the reason why we only see them for a glimpse is because then they go back.
So they're just here to observe, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think it is?
I think it could be aliens, and or something that the government knows about. Because in one of the instances when they saw one of the bigger ships,
yeah,
they stated that how many helicopters? After they saw one of the big ships, three helicopters followed behind it. Two of them still stayed behind it while one of them went beside it. So they were documenting what they saw. So there was reported cases of it through the government. So they knew about it. So either they had unidentified flying objects, or it was a test that they were conducting,
right,
for something, for an experimental
craft. Right. Oh yeah, I definitely think for sure that they were seeing something odd in the sky, and that was probably unexplainable, at least to our knowledge. Now, whether it was military or extraterrestrial, or even terrestrial, you know, like, I mean... the aliens, they don't have to be out of this world. They can be right here and right under our nose and we wouldn't know it. But I like to think it's aliens.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it's aliens.
But I did find what he did say, and this is a quote out of Don't Look Up on page 129 from Danny. "The aircraft we are calling unidentified are vehicles from our future, flying through a time hole and then returning. This means that in 1947, a crashed UFO was recovered in New Mexico when it had a mechanical failure." So, I mean, I didn't really have to read that part, but I guess basically, like, that part is just saying why it didn't go back, because it had a failure. He also talks about how they can be interdimensional, and, like, maybe that's why, like, they only come and go, and, you know, things even like Sasquatch... Black Panthers,
right. I was about to say the
lizard one. People, like, you see them, and then they're gone. So, this is definitely one of those things.
Because I was just thinking, like, even the Flatwoods Monster.
So, I actually think that, like, we're going to do an episode.
Right. I didn't want to go into it right now. I just said, taking all the stuff we went through today.
But I would say, the Flatwood Monster, there's something 100% happened there, because the military literally showed up right after.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they were tracking it.
Right.
But this, I think the military knew what was going on. And I think there was no threat. And maybe this was a test to see how we would react. Like, let's say it's extraterrestrials. Let's just go ahead and say that. Maybe it was a test to see how humans would react. So they chose a small town in the little valley of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
And... put out a small ship or a couple of ships for everybody to see.
I don't think thousands of ships is a couple.
Well, I mean, it could have been the same ship, just different times.
Well, they could have... True, yeah. But, I mean, realistically, maybe it was...
Or it was in just one general area.
Well, maybe it was a time thing.
Could be.
Maybe it was a duration of this time. And maybe they made it here also because it is so close to still, like, the CIA...
Mm-hmm.
the Pentagon, D.C. Like, it's so close to... And then it's close to a couple Air Force bases. It's
they could have wanted to see...
It's not even that far, realistically, from Wright-Patterson.
So, like, they probably wanted to test something to see how would people react and how fast it was spread.
Right.
Because after this, it blew up. So, it
could... I feel like it kind of blew up during Roswell.
Right.
So, I don't know. Because in the 80s... It was in the late 80s and early 90s. I feel like alien movies were really big and popular, but not necessarily like they were in the 50s.
Okay.
So, I'm not sure if it blew up in that sense. And maybe that's why we continue to see so many UFOs or UAPs or whatever you want to call them today.
Because of the movies and stuff, we just become accustomed.
Well, no, I think because of this. Because of the flap of UFO, like, because of the sighting, I mean, of what it seems like, people didn't necessarily panic, they just wanted answers.
Right.
And it became to a point where, like, people probably saw it and was just like, eh, fuck it, I still gotta go buy bread today, or I still gotta go to work, or, you know what I mean?
Right, so people just wanted to go on their own. They saw it and like, okay, that's cool or weird.
There wasn't necessarily, the first part of it was probably a little bit of panic. Right. But it wasn't big enough to catch the attention. Like nobody extra had to come anywhere. So that's where it comes to kind of like it's weird for me.
Right.
It just seems like I would definitely say the government knew what was going on. So I will say that it was either the government. I mean, it could have been both. It could have been them being together.
Right. It could have known someone just been tracking it or following.
Right.
I think it was something we don't know. Like, extraterrestrial.
Yeah, I'm actually starting to believe that. Like, I used to believe that the government was in possession, like, had possession of alien artifacts and alien technology. And now I'm starting to believe that, like, we have no fucking idea what's going on, and we have no idea how to use it. We have no idea what's going on. And, like, even going through the little thing that the hearing that just happened, or like even now, like NASA's joining in on it, like all these random things are happening, and it's starting to get to the point where I'm thinking, like, maybe we don't know, or we at least acknowledge them, but we're not So maybe the government's acknowledged that they're real, but they don't know what it is. But maybe they're wanting us to acknowledge. Or maybe they do know they're real. Maybe there is a treaty. Like, maybe there's all that, you know, all that shit that's going in the rabbit hole. Yeah. Like, all that deep shit, like, our government's already planning with them. And maybe with NASA joining in and stuff like that, maybe this is a way of disclosing it to humanity.
Right, because NASA tells us everything.
Right. Anyways, but yeah, that's like how... That is how I'm like trying to kind of think of this. But yeah, and... I will say that the authors kind of like... The sightings, they just kind of dropped off. And... I want to say... Could be very wrong on this. I know one of the authors, at least, hasn't seen a UFO like since 1990. Or, like, right before it.
I know I've read somewhere where it said that after everything kind of dropped off, he still got a couple phone calls every week saying that they saw something.
Right.
But it wasn't as much as it was during that time frame.
It is crazy how much these guys put into it. I'm very thankful for them. So that's really cool. I hope you guys are going to be there tomorrow. If you're not, there is a chance that I will have a follow-up episode. Maybe we'll be able to get a couple more people involved. I mean, like I said, guys, this is just something where you're skimming the top. I'm really excited and eager to learn, like, what they actually have to say from their mouth. Because, like, you can really tell when somebody's talking to you, like, how they feel about it. And that is what I'm super excited about. So I cannot wait for that. Yeah. Do you have any more, Matt?
I think I'm good. I'm just ready for tomorrow.
Yeah. It's gonna be a long, nice, good weekend, and I cannot wait. And we will have a few episodes coming out pretty soon. This one's only being released a day and like 10 hours late, but we wanted to kind of be here and get all that stuff done, and I don't know, be in the joyous mood. Like, I'm so excited, I'm so pumped, and I'm really excited to meet all these people that I've been in contact with for like the last few months. So it's just something really cool and kind of special. I'm not gonna lie. I'm like a kid right now. You know, there's a chance I'm going to remember this for a long time.
Yeah.
Or maybe I won't.
I'm very excited for it.
So, well, guys, I hope that this at least got you interested enough into reading it on your own or going and tackling it. Again, I guarantee you, Matt and I will probably have a recap, and maybe we'll get more specific on some things.
We'll tell you about our experience there and how we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And hopefully see some of you there.
Yep. All right, guys. See you later.
Signing off.